Welcome to Value Through Vulnerability. This is a podcast dedicated to putting the human back into humanity, and I'm your host, Gary Turner. I'm also the founder of Hexo Change, and Hexo Change is a transformational change practice dedicated to helping you connect to yourself, to others, and to systems at large in a more meaningful way, thus helping us turn around our workplace and planetary challenges and accelerating how alive we all feel in every aspect of our lives. This track is called Kaleidoscope and was created for me personally and for Hexo Change by Peter Griffiths, one half of the amazing Mind Takeaway. I hope you enjoy this exploration and please do share it on your social platforms so we can bring more humanity to more people. Hope to speak to you soon. Welcome to Value Through Vulnerability. This is a podcast dedicated to putting the human back into humanity, and we are boosted by humans first. And I'm very grateful to have founder Mike Vacanti with me today. And we have an awesome human. That awesome human is Dr. Pauline Crawford. When you hear her, she may not sound like where she's living right now, but I'll let her explain that. And she's the founder of Corporate Heart International and designer of the Gender Dynamics Map. Welcome to the podcast, Pauline.
I'm absolutely delighted to be here with my posh British accent, but I do live in America and I live in the heart of Las Vegas, which is unusual at the moment because it's quiet. So the strip is closed down, and for the last several weeks I've been here in Summerland with my husband and my dog walking out in the greenery and working online. It's a different world that we have today, isn't it, guys? A beautiful and magical unknown that we travel into. And it's different.
How is that for you, Pauline? Because like just that image straight away for me of the Las Vegas Strip being closed is just like a, I can't even imagine that. What's that like for you to actually wander around?
Well, what's interesting is that I'm not really attached to the Strip at all because I didn't like it when it was alive. And so I'm not that worried about it now it's quiet. And in fact, we lived in California for a year before coming here, and I didn't really want to come to Las Vegas, but I love where I live. I love Las Vegas because it's not the Strip. And I think it brings a joy to know that everywhere has its different faces, but there's a very good community here, different parts of Las Vegas, so we're in Summerland. But I think there's something wonderful about the quietness at the moment, and I love that. And I'm actually feeling really very positive about the future, because I think we were in desperate need to have some kind of shock, some kind of jolt. And I say it's like, it's a pandemic pause. Mm-hmm. And you need pandemic patience and passion. And I know that the world can be a much better place than it was. And interesting enough, I actually traveled to Manila on January the 28th, 29th, 30th. And I actually landed in Hong Kong Airport going through to Manila to receive a text message from my son in England saying, "What the hell are you doing in China?" Because I had no idea what was going on. And I said, "Oh no, I'm in Hong Kong," not realizing how near it was to China. But in that week, the start of this transition happened. And when I came back on the 10th, the airport was half empty, quarter empty. The plane was quarter empty. You know, people were worried about quarantine. So we shifted through this like doorway to something totally different. But curiously, when I did my conference presentation in Manila, I started my show by saying, "Imagine it's 2030. You think I'm a prophet?" I said, "Imagine it's 2030. And businesses alive with men and women running it together. Everybody's engaged, everybody's healthy, everybody enjoys going to work. We have a much more balanced arena, blah, 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 blah." So I was talking about this future that I saw without knowing that we're going to suddenly have this impasse to look at our lives again. So I then came to 2020 and I said, you know, we're actually doing really well. You know, we've got lots of conversations going. Women and men wanting to run the boardroom together. Even, you know, major things happening where men of corporate America and corporate England were saying, "I think we need to change things," not knowing that this change was going to happen. So I do feel that there's, I know a lot of people are probably maybe panicking, but I think especially in Humans First and everybody that I talk to, yeah, it's scary, but it's also very exciting. And I think it's about the opportunity to look at something very different. And I don't even know what that is. I just know that it will be engaging and inviting conversations that matter. And I don't think we've had those conversations so much in the public arena. And I'm not going to be political at all, but I think, you know, too many arguments have been going on for too many times. And I think it's a wonderful thing about when people go, yeah, but what are we going to do? I go, well, we don't know yet. We're going to find out. It's going to happen, don't you think?
I think it's
the challenge, I believe, is that we all have a different view of what that might be. And that's what we need to explore.
I think your use of the word explore is really, really important, Pauline. And I'd like to just take a step back as Mike joins us more fully. Could you introduce yourself a bit more formally? I think people have got a good measure of you from that wonderful little exploration, but a little bit more formal. What are you up to? And tell us a little bit more about your work, Pauline.
Well, I'm known across the world as the Ambassador of Magical Conversations, because as the CEO of Corporate Art International, I'd like to explain that that is the Chief Engagement Officer. What I realize in my development of my business over the last 30 years in the UK, in Malaysia, and now in the US, my passion in corporate art has been what's the heart of business. Mm-hmm. So in a way, I'm a behavioralist, I'm a performance consultant. I'm also an image consultant, and that's actually where I started 30 years ago, understanding people, because I wasn't interested in just how people dressed. I wanted to understand how they presented themselves. So I work in every way to do with performance, communication, understanding ourselves. But what I realize is that everything I've always done is always about conversation. Even going back to my childhood, I think, you know, people who knew me it was always about, she chattered too much. I was ticked off at school. But I do believe that if people understand themselves, that's the first part. So I help my clients do that. But then understanding each other is really the trail to success. So Corporate Art International is now established in the US, but it's actually been in the UK since 1999. And I had an amazing 4 years in Malaysia, which was fascinating to understand a different culture. But my work is all about people. So whether it's an individual challenge, or it's a group challenge, or it's a whole business challenge, it's about how do those people work together. And I think that's the major thing, is understanding how we work and brackets live together. So I do specifically study how men and women work together. It's one of the main focuses, but I also address all the other diverse issues, such as race, generation, sexual orientation, whatever it is comes into the mix. And so what I'm doing now is acting through online Zooms in order to deliver my programs and teach other people what I know. But I look forward to going back into group dynamics, because that's where it's really, really good fun. And we make a dance with life. And one of my themes today is about dancing for humanity. Because I was on Humans First just now, and I was talking about that. And I think maybe we need to close down all the casinos and open up dance halls. What do you reckon?
I love the engagement and the activity of that, right? It seems much healthier.
Yes. Well, it is. And music is, you know, some music is very jarring, but music that lifts our spirit and helps us move. So whether it's fast movement or medium or slow, music has always been an energy of change. And I think that's maybe where, you know, if you think back if you've ever studied Argentine tango, there's a whole history of transformation in that one dance, which swept across the world and changed us from dancing like this, about, you know, a foot away from our partner, into dancing so close that we understood the rhythm of a human body. And then you had the 60s, which I was part of, and the breakthrough in music and rock and roll, right through to what we've got now. And I just think maybe we should pay attention to the music of life.
I love that thought. And I've seen the tango, Pauline, I must say, but I would only be successful in scuffing a lot of shoes if I were to give it a go.
Well, what's really interesting, and this is what conversation is about. You know when a conversation is magical because there's a rhythm to it. Now, dancing is the same. So you have to learn the technical bits, like, yeah, a quick step is da-da-da, or Argentine. You learn the moves, but when you live into the music and into the rhythm of your partner, you actually stop worrying about your feet. Uh-huh. And, you know, it is interesting enough, there's always, if you like, a male part of the conversation, but it could be two men, and that's nothing sexual. In Argentine tango originally, a lot of the men danced together because the women weren't there. And it wasn't sexual, it was just that they were into this rhythm and they wanted to really hone the dance. So there's always a lead, could be a woman, could be a man, but you know, it's not that you're not leading to control, you're leading just to be able to manage the music, but you're actually working together. And the best partner dances and the best conversations, there's this ebb and flow, there's a rhythm, there's a give and take, and a questioning and listening and answering and sharing and contribution. And that's what my gift to the world is. I want my legacy to be that we have daily magical conversations without judgment and anger or coercion. And so now we've got this pause. That's where the no coercion is. You get a lot of people say, okay, yeah. Had enough of this conversation. What are we going to do? Yes, we do need to get to action. But if somebody's not there yet, you've got to be aware who's in the circle. If they're not there to the action, they'll only do it under duress. And so ideally, you want the movement to come together.
Pauline, I'm buzzing. Like, I always say I'm buzzing. I'm always buzzing on these conversations. Humans like you. But do you know, what really struck me powerfully as you described there was this not leading to control, but leading to guide. Like that came up so powerfully for me as you were describing that dance. And it's such a nuanced thing to appreciate. But yeah. But it's such a fine line between leading with control and leading with guide as a guide. Yeah. And it takes intentionality, I think. What do you think about that?
Well, yes, and I think you interested in your view, Mike, as well, is that in a world where we have to make action, so if we talk about business or whatever, somebody's going, yeah, but we need to make a decision because, you know, the market's crashing, blah, 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 and they're pushing. But if people don't have a buy-in to that and an ability to own it, it's been pushed one way. But if you look at the sea, I love the sea, as you know, from my lighthouse and water. The sea always ebbs and flows. It comes up the beach a bit further back down. There is a theory that the seventh wave is always the biggest. I don't know whether you've heard that one, but there is a cyclical energy, but the wave always goes back and it always comes forward. It always goes back and it always comes forward. And that's where I see with conversation, you do need an agreement and then action. But we really want to understand that sense of flow. And what's interesting with Corporate Heart International, CHI, is chi, and chi is flow. So we can have quite a directive conversation if it needs to be, because action needs to be taken, but you can still engage everybody by understanding simple tools and techniques, a bit like in the dance. So, I mean, I don't know whether you ever watched Strictly Come Dancing, which is the British version, or I can't remember what the American version is, Dancing with the Stars. Sometimes they have somebody on there who is absolutely not a dancer. And yet by the end of the series, they may even be the winner. Mm-hmm. Because they've sat themselves into that intention and they've sought to learn. But the trick of the change will come when they live into the dance.
You know, I love singing that metaphor because it as I'm thinking through it, first of all, the energy flow, you know, from the dance and the ocean waves and conversation and who's leading. And it's really guiding or orchestrating with the energy, right? And as you said, I love that because it can flow either way. And but when you had said, you know, stepping in and learning that dance, there's so much letting go of insecurity and ego, right? That takes place to allow to become part of that natural flow, the rhythm, I'll just say rhythm.
But,
you know, I think of if I were to learn how to dance, and I'm, you know, thinking of that because that would be a really interesting exercise in letting go of how am I being perceived? How am I moving? Am I hurting you? Am I obstructing you?
But yes, and what's interesting is, you know, I am an advocate of watching these things. In those series, they have a non-dancer with a real, really good dancer. And the very good male dancer, you kind of think, well, he's really good at leading, so that the woman will learn the steps maybe more easily. But the man who's the learner, who's the newbie, I've watched some of those series where they've gone from really being not that good a dancer to being able to absolutely, you know, lift their partner up and flow with amazing movements. They've amazed themselves. But one of the things is they've really practiced. And I mean, they're learning a new dance every week intensely. So we think about things that we need to learn. Maybe occasionally we need to learn things quite intensely and we need to practice and practice and practice and practice. I mean, I haven't done a partner dance for some time, but recently with a girlfriend, I went to a bar recently before the lockdown, and somebody asked me to dance. I didn't know them at all, but he was a good dancer. So when he held me, I knew that he was a good dancer. So I just followed because my previous experience of knowing it came back. As soon as I started thinking I was going to go wrong, I went wrong. But what was interesting, my girlfriend also danced with him, and he said to her, "Oh, you're not really a dancer, are you? Pauline is." So I was quite honored. But you know, that's years of practice. I mean, I did ballet when I was four until I was 18, and then I did my disco medals in my 40s. I have my bronze, silver, and gold disco medals. And then I've done a lot of partner dancing, salsa, Argentine tango, and then the regular ballroom dancing. So I love it. But we could even have a human's first dance session where everybody is doing dance steps together. And it's a hugely empowering situation to be part of, say, 50 to 100 people, and you're all dancing this way and that way. You're not dancing together, but you're dancing in a sequence.
Festival, Mike, festival.
Yeah, so maybe it's about going back to conversation. It's also about learning, practicing some ways of conversation with different people, because in terms of my study with my gender dynamics map, people come to conversation in different ways. Mm-hmm. Some people are observers, so they don't rush in. Some people are instant chatters. Some are very short on attention span, so they, you know, we actually all come into the conversation different ways. So it's understanding those sequences together.
And that's what is so fascinating, Pauline, with that sequencing. You know, so we each have the, you know, the male and female energy in us, and so as we're you know, going into that conversational dance, or we're going into that shared, authority is the wrong word, but you know what I'm saying. If we're going yes. into conversation and engagement and problem solving, what are those exercises that you help people go through? Like if we were going to do a session together as a group, what would be that practical takeaway that I would experience?
Well, the first part is recognizing some of the core differences that occur with people naturally. So, I mean, just being very, very generalist, you know, women are often a higher level of chatterers, so to speak, than men. Men will often feel that a certain amount of conversation and then that's enough. So again, that's an ebb and flow. And there are certain things, you know, women, for instance, tend to ask questions without really wanting an answer, whereas men listen and hear that as wanting an answer. So it's understanding some of the basic things that might be misunderstood. But also, I think the classic thing is listening to what people say. So do they say a classic, you know, visual, auditory and kinesthetic clues? I hear you, I see you, I feel this. But also, is somebody being more tell, or are they being ask? So you find in a conversation sometimes, I tell you a family story, you know, my family were great conversationalists over tea, but there was one uncle who was very, what I call a pontificator. And the whole room, as soon as Uncle Bill started, the whole room would go, because we knew that he would, you know, and it was just his style. It was a style of, well, you know, I have a view on this and I'm going to tell you all of that. But as we get to understand different personalities, you can actually put in some, I say tricks, but like if somebody's having a difficulty with a certain issue and they're talking and then you observe something, you might actually say, you know, is it okay? I observe something about you. Do I have your permission to share something? It allows you to get into that space where somebody might say, oh, for God's sake, you know, stop being so annoying or whatever. It blocks the conversation. So really listening, thinking about the waves again is listen to what you're saying and what other people are saying and do things like that. Say, well, in, you know, in my observation, in my experience, may I have the permission to say? And it's almost, it sets the scene, like the music. You're setting the scene for what you want to create in that space. And often we say is that it's the space between us that we're talking into. We're not talking at each other.
That's beautiful.
I haven't either.
Have you not heard that? So there's a space between us, even in the Zoom call. And it's interesting because, Gary, you're in London, in England. You're somewhere else in America to me. But there's a space between us. And as we share, I can almost feel you thinking.
Yeah.
And hear you saying.
I like pondering that. That feels really, really good because there's this new awareness that takes place about the flow, right? Yes. Of when we acknowledge the space, we have a better understanding of the flow as you're speaking of.
Well, that's right. And let me give you a specific example, which I've used in a class. So the issue for the class of women was how to deal with the, let's just say the dominant boss, male. Right. And I had them become aware of the difference between men and women, especially the what I might call the masculine male boss who believes he's always right. And I split them into groups. And one group was three very feminine females, and one group was very masculine-minded females. So they came to I asked them to study in their groups, how would you deal with this man if he was being a little bit too dominant? And the feminine female said, oh, I think we'd stop chattering. That's a good point. We won't try and hug him. Yeah, good idea. And the masculine female said, oh, no, we'd stand up to him and be a bit bossy, which obviously wasn't going to necessarily be right. So what they gained an understanding was that one was being too withdrawing and the other was being too attacking. And in fact, it wasn't going to actually suit the man. And what the advice was is that when he says something dominant, you need to validate it. Agree, not agree with the content, but validate his energy, if you like, and then maybe summarize what he said so he has some support system, and then come in with your idea. So that was a very practical example of allowing the women to feel they could actually get inside a conversation rather than going away and saying, well, he just doesn't care about us, or he's annoying, or worse. And in a working situation, it's not going to help either party. So there's no flow. There's just control and obedience, but unhappiness. Whereas with the tactics, if you like, he starts relaxing that, yes, I'm honored. They get an opportunity to say an idea. And there's lots of research on this that then I've had clients where I've helped them through this. And a few months later, they say, oh, it's really amazing. You know, I used to hate each other, but we're good friends now. Oh, what a surprise. Because they've got past the barrier.
Would you mind speaking a little bit, Pauline, for those that are kindly joining us today? You've mentioned, you know, masculine male, feminine male. Can you just explain those roles that you've found throughout your experience, and what does that look like? And maybe our listeners can see themselves in those different dynamics that you're speaking to.
Well, what was interesting is I discovered, and this was when I was in the image consultancy world, I discovered there was a body shape to my assessment. And it was partly because I was a masculine-minded female. So I'm all female. I'm a mother, grandmother. I have menstrual cycles. I'm hormonal, all the stuff that women have. But I have very masculine mind. I think before I feel. Whereas my feminine female friends who are slightly softer in physique, so I'm more square, they have a much more nurturing energy and are much more sovereign in the way they might act. So we're all women, but we're different. So I call her my FF and I'm an MF. And for the men who are very angular, like Pierce Brosnan maybe, very structured, tend to be more masculine male, which is more one thing at a time, you know, quite dominant in a sort of I'm right attitude. And then the FM, who's a gentler Nelson Mandela type, softer physique and softer intuition. But all the men are men and all the women are women. So all men have that baseline of being more like task orientated and either or, and the women are more menstrual and hormonal and either and. And the beautiful thing about being humans is that we've all learned how to be aware and have conversations together. And my wish is that everybody honors those differences in order to come into that space together. Because it was going that way anyway, to being mixed leadership. Now it's a must. I believe, need to co-create, co-parent the world.
So
that's why when I talk about MMs, FMs, which are feminine-minded men, MFs, which are masculine-minded female, and then an FF, which is a feminine-minded female, there's actually lots of ones in between. So it's a 360 view. And what is beautiful about it, it's everybody is in there somewhere. So whether you're any sexual orientation, you're any race, you're any generation, you're on the map somewhere. And then you start the conversation. Because once you know where you are and you can assess where other people are, you can understand those nuances of the dance. Or the dance, as they say in America. That's something I've learned, is that I pronounce things differently to the way Americans say it.
I think they sound nice coming from you.
The dance.
Yes.
But I would like to remind you that it was in the Humans First, I've just been in before here, we came up with the idea of the dance for humanity. And maybe that's a theme we could develop, to dance for humanity.
It's a lovely thought. I think of, you know, in the focus, and I think of the different energies and along that 360 scale, right? So there's, we all have, you know, somewhere along the wheel, we would all land. And I think of, you know, for me personally, as you were expressing that, I was trying to reflect, what have I learned about myself over time? And you know, it's interesting because I was a very, you know, like laser focused was, you know, that's my natural state, is to be laser focused. I didn't have that radar view. There just wasn't that natural awareness of everything going on around me. And I could see that being so natural in, you know, my wife or, you know, others around me that I was working with. They would have a much broader view of things. And I was kind of like, well, if there's two drawers open, I'm not sure what to do. We can only have one drawer open at a time, because then I'm pretty clear, right? And it takes practice and awareness to soften my natural tendencies, to become more open and aware to more that's going on. And listening comes along with that, I found.
Yes. And also awareness, because when I share the map with people, there's almost like several layers to it, so that when people are totally unaware, then they go to their stress point and they become very much the extreme not good part of the map. So, you know, I make people, I say, you know, when the MM's being really bad and he's in his box, he can be a bit of a bully. And when the FM's in his box, he could be a bit of a wimp. The FF can be a bit of a victim and I can be a bit of a bitch. But, you know, we use those because we know from our not so good behavior, our reactive behavior, where we're coming from. But see, when the ruler is the MM is being a ruler of great wisdom, and the FM is a great philosopher, and the FF is a wonderful sovereign, and the MF is the brilliant magician, you know, we start seeing ourselves as glorious archetypes that come together to make the whole picture, the whole dance. And what I love about what you said, Mike, is that awareness, and you as well, Gary, that I know in conversations with you, you gained awareness in your life. You remember a time when you weren't like this. I remember a time when I really didn't understand why I was the way I was and why my sisters really annoyed me, because I didn't understand that there was this multiple level of types around the table. And as I've learned into it and you watch the flow, the awareness allows you to flow into the intention of the topic in the space. And that's the key thing with a magical conversation. You're not necessarily talking at somebody, you're all talking to a topic. So if we said our future, create our future is the topic in the middle of the table, then I need to respect your view and her view and his and everybody's view. And, you know, in Malaysia, there's a different view of the world that I learned about. There's a different view of the world in the UK. There's a different view of the world when I'm a baby boomer talking to a millennial or talking to my grandkids who are 10 and 12 and have a totally different view of the world. And we have no idea, you know, they're going to be the future. So my granddaughter is 10 and in 30 years, she'll be a 40-year-old woman married with several children. What will the world look like? We have no idea. But we hope and bless that it will be somewhere where we've been using our imagination and our curiosity to actually get things, I was going to say right, but we don't know what right is, but to get it right for everybody.
It's so beautiful, Pauline. What's really coming up for me is, I just love this, like the 7.5 billion unique energetic views of the world. And I love the way you talk about the topic being in that space. And I think, like, visually, it's visceral for me as you describe that, which is actually, we can stop looking directly at each other and think it's like a one-to-one situation. Actually, there's a third party, which is the conversation or the challenge or where we're trying to go together. And almost see it as like a third party space that we go into and leave together, like the dance hall,
rather than seeing it as a, like, we are in combat mode. I think it's so powerful.
Well, that's right. And if I had my wish, a magic wand, I would take every single square table out of the boardrooms of the world and only have circular tables and make sure there was lots of light in the room and space. And that would be, it would energize the conversation, especially if it's a difficult conversation.
So powerful. Yeah. What's coming up for you, Mike? You're looking as pondery as me today.
You know, where I'm sitting, and actually where I'm really enjoying sitting, as you know, I'm experiencing this conversation with you, Pauline, is, you know, like Gary, it's exploring that space between, and it's becoming clearer to me now what that means and what that is, as the topic is part of that space between. And the leaving room for others' natural state is space between. And then the, you know, how we can evolve ourselves with that understanding that we're not, you know, for me, it wouldn't be defaulting to, you know, in that laser view that I was speaking of, right? You know, a default for me in with discomfort then would be, let me go right to my anger cues, right? And so I need to go to my most dominant state to get myself in, you know, some feeling of comfort. And how ridiculous that is, right? Because there's no reason to flee to that default state when I can appreciate the space between us.
Yes.
And allow myself to step into it and allow myself to feel the rhythm from the other person and yes. their perspective and their point of view. And now, like, I'm seriously coming out of the equation myself, and I'm part of the dance, the duality of that. So I'm like exploring, how do I get clear on this? And I'm actually feeling an understanding come about.
That's so fantastic. And I love the words you're using, because you're saying allowing that space. So a special way to get it, because a lot of people say, well, how do I get there without judgment, is to actually say or preface in your mind, on this topic in the center, in my experience of this topic in the center, this is how I see it. Yeah. Full stop. Somebody else in the circle might be thinking, no, I don't agree with that, but they're not allowed to say that. They might be able to say, well, in my experience, it's been different. Mm-hmm. And often what I do is to actually get somebody to notate it on a piece of paper, not in lines, but just randomly what people are saying. It's like you're capturing the conversation if it's an exercise and it's timed. So that's why, say, I do an exercise with clients, it might be an hour and a half or half day. In that time, they're not allowed to take action or be angry. They can be passionate, use their experience. And the amazing amount of material comes out of those sessions.
Yeah.
And then you stop and you go away, and then you come back and you look at the material and go, wow, what do we do with this now? And then that's a different conversation. Still magical, but it's, you've allowed everybody to seed into the space. Because often in business, especially, people are going, I don't think I can say anything. the boss is talking, and there's this hierarchy of no space. So that space is the dance space.
What I'm finding really fascinating is, like, I really hope, like, the energy piece around what you're speaking to, like, that it's not okay for me to speak up, as hierarchy. No one says that. People call it in corporate life, it's the norms and values and culture. No, it's energy. Like, stop de-energizing, actually, and making it a tangible concept. It's actually an experiential, I'm sensing that I can't speak up. And it's, I think there's something really powerful in what you're speaking to around this, actually, let's be okay with sitting in energy and being a bit woo-woo about our spirituality and the fact we are all connected and that there is something else going on that isn't something that comes out of a textbook.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, it's the unknown. So one of my dreams is to ask different groups, you know, in a magical conversation context, what is your imagined magic wand future with no condition to now or the past? And somebody might say, well, we can't have that. I say, no, this is just using your imagination. You put anything down there, as long as it's not nasty. You're not allowed to put, you know, I'll kill everybody. But, you know, you put there and then we explore it and then we see what all the different pictures are. And my belief is that even if you saw the future different to me or Malaysians saw it different to Americans, the thread of human energy would be love, respect and trust.
Yes.
It's just that it would look different in my world than yours because I am who I am. But if we can understand the flow of love, trust and respect in different ways, different formats, I believe we can get past all these marginalized situations and restrictive practices and privilege and all this stuff. And that's what we've been given with this pandemic is the opportunity to have magical conversation cultures.
I love the, respect is some, definitely, you know, came up for me as we were talking. And then I'm almost embarrassed to share how wacky my brain is. And so as you were talking through that, I'm going to go ahead and share anyway. Is this still recording, Gary?
Yeah, keep going.
But, you know, think of that with the different views and the hierarchy. Right. And Gary, you were talking about, you know, norms, culture and what's accepted and not, and when people go quiet, when they shouldn't go quiet. And think of when there's not that open space for the conversation, where the natural flow is not allowed as you're sharing what's possible, Pauline.
Yes.
And I think of an exercise where people in a room together and when you have that sense of, that's not quite right. You don't really understand the energy or that dominance that somebody might be throwing. Tilt your head like a puppy would tilt their head at, I don't really understand those words. And then because you can't really speak out against that authority, just bark at them. So tip your head like a puppy. And when it doesn't make sense, just bark. Woof! That would confuse the heck out of a boardroom, wouldn't it?
Oh, totally.
How many people would be sitting around that table barking? I think it would be hilarious.
Well, you know, my dream has been up to this pandemic that I would go into those boardrooms and do that, you know, actually help them to understand how crazy they are and how limited they are. And and trust me, I do believe that everybody, once you get into their space correctly, they want to be in that space together. We've just learned all these horrible rules which says, oh, I can't say this and I can't say that, and the, you know, the hierarchy is this and women can't do this and all this stuff. It's not, but listening and observing and knowing who I am, how you are, will make that tribe work for that business. Obviously in a business sense they still need to know what they're doing business wise but a lot of the companies that I study that are really good, they allow for failure, they allow for mistakes, they have a collaborative culture, they have these kind of sessions already going that, you know, they can say, oh, you know, I'm pregnant again and not be chucked off the list, or, you know, say I'm not feeling good today because whatever. And that's always been my dream with Corporate Art International, was about not just magical conversation, but really being able to share whether I'm feeling unwell, or you know, the kids were up all night and the boss not going, oh, well, that's nothing to do with me. Actually, it is, because it's my attention here in the room. So I think this whole pandemic has really allowed us to share a different space, and we want to really maximize it, not lose it. And I really don't want everybody to go back too soon. I get this real fear that people will try and re-engage the economy far too soon, and we'll do a double dip. But, you know, we'll still manage, we'll still cope with it. But those of us who are wise need to share these ideas and dance with humanity.
Dance with Humanity. And it's such a de-stressor. It's just wonderful how, thank you for being patient and allowing us to explore that, stepping in and understanding, because it takes some real calm to do that, right? To be able to explore, because it's new. And I really appreciate your willingness to kind of allow us to fumble along until it catches on, and find our understanding of it.
Well, that's right. And I think one of the things I always work with my clients is, what's your natural gift? That gift which you learned before you went to school. And people often say, what do you mean? Well, you were born with it, but it was probably taken away with you at school, you know, because you got it. So what was it? And if you don't know, just what do you enjoy doing that's absolutely natural? And when people say, gosh, you're really good at that, you say, oh, no, I'm not. Because it's so natural, you do it so well. So mine was talking and being, wanting to have everybody happy. My husband always says, you know, I want to put my arms around the universe. But it doesn't mean that I always get on well with everybody, but I always work to think, how can I embrace this wave and this dance? If it's a dance I'm not suited to, then I'll move away from the dance. But if it is a dance I can do, then let me get involved and help it to flow. And that's, we've all got certain gifts, and different parts of the gender map reflect those gifts, and every personality has different gifts. But I think we need to really understand our natural gift in the conversation and in the dance. So I'm going to challenge you two to start dancing.
I think you can see my dance partner a couple of blocks away on the screen from me here. When we eventually come together, a lot of us, Mike will have a quick step, maybe with Mark, whoever Mark is. But Pauline, as we look to wrap up, seriously, it's been a beautiful conversation. I'm really
magical, even
magical and beautiful. And I want to put a little shout out as well to our mutual friend Jane Nadsed Grant, who connected us and recommended that we should
have this conversation.
So I'd just like to invite you one final thing before we head off into our weekend today. What's your invitation to those that have joined us on this conversation today around anything that's coming to your heart right now? What would you like to leave our listeners with today?
Well, of course, I would love you all to read my book, which is available on Amazon. And the reason is, obviously, it's not just to buy the book, but it's to understand this philosophy of the dance. So leave with you is that you are your own value, and you need to know your own value in order to give it to somebody else in a relationship and then be part of a community. So in the book, you'll find one of my chapters is my core philosophy of life, which is it's literally three arrows: me, you, we. If I know me, then I can know you and me and the conversation we have. And if I know you and me, lots of you and me's, then I can know me, we. And that feeds back into me and makes me feel a lot more valuable. So it's called value creation. And it's a cycle of intention that only starts with you, whoever you are and however unique you are. You don't have to be the same as somebody else to be in that positive cycle.
Beautiful. Pauline, how can people find you? What's the best mediums? What's the best contact details for you?
I'm on LinkedIn as Pauline Crawford. I'm on Facebook, Instagram. Instagram is Pauline Crawford MC, Magical Conversation. And also, I'm developing my Corporate Art International website, so it's not available yet, but I have MissMagicalConversation.com, which you'll find my smiley face on, and lots of more information there. So if you're bright and you're intelligent, you'll find me.
I love it. Or if you can use Google. So let's see.
Google, yes.
Pauline, you've been an absolute joy. And I've been very blessed to be one of Pauline's magical conversations previously. So do go out and find those. And Mike, thank you. What a great exploration today, Mike.
And thank you, Gary. And thank you, Mike. It's really, really good to get to know you, Mike. And always good to see you, Gary. And I love Humans First. And I think we're all on a path to an amazing future.
Thank you. I look forward to taking steps together. It was just wonderful today.
Hi there. You're
Value Through Vulnerability host Gary Turner here, wrapping up this awesome conversation with Dr. Pauline Crawford and my friend Mike Vicente. I'd love to know what you took away. Please do drop me a note at Gary IP Catalyst on Twitter, or you can find me Gary at GaryTurner.life if you want to get me via my email address. I'd love to know what's come up for you. What did you enjoy? What would you challenge? What's on your mind after listening in to this conversation? Three of the takeaways I'd love to leave with you that really were meaningful for me were that Pauline shared, if I had my wish, a magic wand, I would take every single square table out of the boardrooms of the world and only have circular tables and make sure there was a lot of light and space in the room to create energy. Just think about that for a second. How simple would it be to replace all the boardrooms with long square or rectagonal tables with something circular? It's so simple, such a simple idea, but could transform the energy and the connection. You know, the ability to see every one of the people that you're in a meeting with and not just the two or three that are at your end of the table. Just think about the difference in dynamic and energy and seeing one another and hearing one another. I just never thought of it. Such a beautiful, simple, but I think really powerful example. I'd love to know if that resonates with you at all. I also found it interesting when Pauline shared that a lot of the companies that are really good allow for failure. They allow for mistakes. They have a collaborative culture. They can say, I'm pregnant again, and not be chucked off the list or say, I'm not feeling good today. In summary, the organizations, according to Pauline, that are most human are the ones that are the most successful or the ones that are most humane. And that is not a surprise, something that I've reinforced certainly within the team culture change that I led over a 3-year period. If you're listening to this and you're questioning the importance of truly seeing and engaging and including every single one of your people, know that it is business positive. It is only a good thing. It is not a negative. So I'd love to know what's coming up for you with that reflection. And finally, the other thing I'd love to share is that Pauline stated that you are not leading to control. You are leading to manage the music. There is a give and take, a questioning, listening, and a contribution. So I hope that resonates with you. Do follow up with Pauline. Do connect with her. Find out more about her work with the Gender Dynamics Map. Follow Mike Vicente. You can also follow myself. And I'm on at Gary IP Catalyst. And hope to speak to you soon. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Really hoping that you enjoyed that exploration on the Value Through Vulnerability podcast. You can find out much more about Hexo Change at hexochangenow.com. That's HexoChangeNow, one word, .com. You can subscribe to a weekly newsletter at that website, which includes information about live stream conversations, further service offerings, blogs, but also our in-person events, of which we have multiple each year. So I really hope that you'll join us. Do connect with me, Gary Turner, on LinkedIn, and I really hope to hear from you soon.